Thank you, Jonga, and a blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, July 20th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries and Employers Confederation of Zimbabwe have welcomed the Supreme Court's ruling that companies can terminate workers' contracts anytime without offering terminal benefits.
When it comes to contractual law, sometimes what the contract says is what an employer also implements. And I believe really, the court has been pragmatic in looking at the fact.
The family of missing activist Itai Dzamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square says it welcomes the $10,000 reward offered by the police on information leading to his whereabouts.
That leaves a lot to be desired, and it actually raises eyebrows. And the reason for that is why it is and how it is that the police actually had to wait for 4 months.
And the United States and Cuba restored full diplomatic relations today after more than 5 decades of hostility.
For us to continue with our clean sweep approach and saying, we will not be friends with so-and-so, it's not going to help because the world is moving on.
Please do stand by for these stories and much, much more coming up.
Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries and Employers Confederation of Zimbabwe have welcomed the Supreme Court's ruling that companies can terminate workers' contracts anytime without offering terminal benefits by giving them 3 months' notice only. EMCOS President John Mufukari and CZI President Devti Norupiri told Studio 7 that they entirely agree with the ruling, saying it's positive for employers. But Labour Minister Priska Mfumira, begged by labor organizations such as the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, have raised serious concern with the ruling, saying it will see many workers being retrenched.
Mufumira says the judgment has opened floodgates for employers to terminate workers' contracts. She said her department received reports that some workers were fired soon after the Supreme Court ruling. For perspective, Studio 7's Blessing Zulu reached Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, or ZCTU, President George Nkiwane and self-confessed libertarian independent economist Rejoice Ngwenya of Liberal Market Solutions. Ngwenya says the ruling is positive.
We do not give the impression that the government of Zimbabwe is totally abandoned or the judiciary has abandoned the rights of the workers, because as part of the team that was in the constitutional making process, I do understand that the workers' rights are clearly and adequately protected in the constitution, also covered by human rights. But unfortunately, when it comes to contractual law, sometimes what the contract says is what an employer also implements. And I believe really, the court has been pragmatic in looking at the fact that the degree of freedom of association that an employee enjoys as an individual must be the same one afforded a company, which is also considered a legal persona. I believe really that perhaps the law was looking at the fact that they appear in the constitution.
Mr. Nkiwane, your response?
I need to be very clear on this one. This is the worst judgment ever that we have ever had in this country. Number one, morally and ethically, it is very, very wrong. Whether the judge has interpreted the law correctly as it ought to be. But we need to look at the repercussions and after effects of that judgment. So whether the law was interpreted correctly, but what we need to look at is the intention of the legislator when they enacted the Labor Act that we are currently using. And if you look at the judgment itself, the judge is referred to common law. And I wonder how they did that, because I'm not a legal persona, but I do understand that the tenets of common law in the majority of cases, they're trying to resuscitate a law that has been abandoned maybe 13, 20 years ago here in Zimbabwe.
Mr. Ngwenya, are you of the same opinion that this is the worst judgment ever?
Well, look, I mean, you're obviously asking the wrong person. I'm not a socialist, I'm a liberal, and really
the way that we liberals understand the balancing of capital, you really have to offer equal depth and magnitude to the two capital, whether it's money or human capital or machinery. The thing really is that the interest of the business also have to be taken into account. When a law is inflexible, I mean, there's been so much talk about flight of capital in Zimbabwe, and the reluctant blessing of the international investment community come to Zimbabwe. Other than indigenization, the labor laws have been very strict. I mean, the MCOS has done a lot of work in trying to look at the way that the labor laws can be made simpler, because if it is impossible to retrench a worker who has signed a contract, then it means the sustainability of the company is also under threat. So I believe really the judge has taken a necessary judgment that balances the interests of the legal persona, the company, and also the individual who is the worker.
Mr. Nkiwane, your response to what Mr. Ngwenya is saying, that the labor laws in Zimbabwe are also responsible for the reluctance by some investors to come and do business with Harare?
Not at all. I think we are skirting around the major issue that we ought to deal with as a country. We have agreed with a document that we refer to as the Kadoma Declaration, wherein we did agree both business, labor, and government, that our major constraint as far as foreign direct investment, not only foreign direct investment, those who are looking even in our own investors, they can't invest in an economy where we have police inconsistencies. And the political risk factor, the question of security of property, is a major, major issue. And this is in black and white, because we did agree that these are the issues that we have to deal with.
That was George Nkiwane, president of the ZCTU, speaking there with a self-confessed libertarian independent economist, Rejoice Ngwenya, of Liberal Market Solutions. Both were speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
The family of missing activist Itai Dzamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square says it welcomes the $10,000 reward offered by the police on information leading to his whereabouts. But family spokesman Patterson Dzamara says the police offer comes a bit too late, because his brother, who was abducted at a barbershop by unknown assailants, has been missing for more than 4 months now.
Ordinarily, that would be a welcome development. But however, in spite of that, we still feel and think that leaves a lot to be desired, and it actually raises eyebrows. And the reason for that is why it is and how it is that the police actually had to wait for 4 months for them to then come forth and intensify the effort as far as trying to establish what happened or what is happening around that issue of the guys missing and concerned. That really is a major cause of concern, because 4 months lapse, they've been really indifferent in their place, so to speak. And so for them to then all of a sudden, out of the blue, come forth and say, we now offer this word for information regarding this misinformation after 4 months, is really, really mind-boggling.
Were you consulted as a family before they came up with this figure and announcement?
No, we were consulted. And it's really disturbing in a way, because in whatever they are claiming an investigation, we have not been consulted whatsoever as a family. In our view, it was supposed to be a process whereby it involves a back and forth kind of a scenario.
That was Patterson Dzamara speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Occupy Africa Unity Square is calling for the resignation of President Robert Mugabe for allegedly failing to properly run the country. The High Court ordered police and other state security agents to find the missing political activist.
The United States and Cuba restored full diplomatic relations today after more than 5 decades of hostility. The red, white, and blue Cuban flag was today hoisted at the U.S. State Department alongside the flags of other countries that have diplomatic relations with the U.S. The U.S. and Cuba each now have a fully fledged embassy in the other's country. for perspective on the re-establishment of ties between Cuba and the United States and its implications for a country like Zimbabwe. Studio 7's Sandra turned to political analyst Charles Mangongera, who says Harare has to take a leaf from Cuba.
For a country like Zimbabwe, which in the past has tended to fracture its international relations on the basis of old, you know, ideological underpinnings, in particular, you know, references to Cold War differences between the US and the West and Russia and other countries. I think that this is significant in the sense that it shows that the world is moving on. Things are changing. Old rivalries, you know, are disappearing and new friendships are developing. And for Zimbabwe to continue with a clenched fist approach to international relations where we pick and choose friends and say, you know, we'll be friends with so-and-so and not so-and-so, that's not going to help. Because even if you look at China, we say China is our fair weather friend, China is our best friend. But China is also doing business with the West. China is doing business with America. China is doing business with Europe. So for us to continue with our clenched fist approach and say, you know, we'll not be friends with so-and-so, it's not going to help because the world is moving on.
In terms of new relationships that you're just talking about, do you see ZANU-PF as the ruling party learning something from this relationship, now the new relationship evolving between these two countries, as what can be possible between Zimbabwe and the West in particular?
The reality of global politics and politics in general is that you always get a change of policy if there's been a significant change in leadership. So in the case of Cuba, what prompted this change of approach, change of attitude to the U.S., was obviously the exiting of Mr. Fidel Castro from the political stage. And when Mr. Raul Castro came in, he sort of opened his hand to the possibility of engaging with America. And we saw that significant incident at Nelson Mandela's funeral when President Obama shook hands with Mr. Raul Castro, something which had never happened for a long period.
That was political commentator Charles Mangongera on the line from Harare with Studio 7, Sandra Nyaira.
In a related development, United States President Barack Obama met with the new Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari at the White House Monday, reinforcing Nigeria's significance to the U.S. Mr. Obama called Nigeria one of the most important countries in the world and hailed its recent peaceful election. President Obama also expressed confidence in Mr. Buhari's ability to defeat the militant group Boko Haram as well as fighting corruption. Managing editor Aliyu Mustafa of VOA's Hausa Service attended the meeting.
One way to look at the importance that the United States attaches to this visit is the fact that the accommodating President Buhari just next door in the Blair House, where heads of state that are extremely crucial to the interests of the United States are accommodated or are housed there. That's one thing. Two, this is a visit that is extremely important to both countries because of the stakes at hand. Boko Haram, obviously, health and regional matters, terrorism, dealing with the African countries because of Nigeria's unique position as a giant economically, politically, and socially in Africa. It could give America a lot of assistance in so many ways.
Mr. Buhari was just recently elected. He literally beat out an incumbent. The fact that Nigeria is embracing democracy must be of significant interest to the United States as well.
Well, Indemiaki, you must remember that a week to the Nigeria's election back in April, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry visited Nigeria to stress the importance of that election, not just to Nigeria as a country, but to Africa and the world in general. It's unprecedented that an opposition party takes out a party like the PDP, which was in power for 16 years. And remember, this is the fourth attempt by Buhari to win this position. So I think they are opening a new page for both countries to start afresh. You know, the relationship between the U.S. and Nigeria under Goodluck Jonathan wasn't great, really, to be honest about it. So for both countries, this is a fresh start for them.
Aliyu Mustafa is the managing editor for VOA's Hausa Service. He spoke with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Nwakalele from the White House here in Washington, D.C.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930-5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com or text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
Zimbabweans are living with their disabilities urged to market their skills.
When I requested to be employed, the managers told me that I was sick and could not be given any job. I realized that people with disabilities should not resort to begging after failing to secure employment. They had to hold their heads high and start their own enterprise.
And the mighty Warriors faced stiff calf sanctions after failing to fulfill a fixture.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
A suicide bombing in Turkey's southeastern city of Suruk has killed at least 28 people and left nearly 100 others injured.
A special court in Senegal began a long-awaited trial Monday against a former Chadian ruler, Hissène Habré, on charges of crime against humanity.
Executives from Japan's Mitsubishi Corporation offered a historic personal apology for the company's use of American prisoners of war as forced laborers during World War II.
The UN Security Council has unanimously endorsed the agreement Iran and a group of six world powers struck last week to limit the Iranian nuclear program in exchange for sanctions relief.
And banks in cash-strapped Greece opened Monday for the first time in 3 weeks.
Zimbabweans with disabilities have been urged to look for ways to market their skills so that society can appreciate their contribution to national development. Our correspondent Safari Njema reports.
This call was made by Shepherd Tembo, who stays and works in Marlborough, Harare. The 41-year-old father of three is disabled in both legs and walks very slowly without a walking aid. He only went as far as grade 4, but taught himself landscaping and horticulture through observing housing and company premises and looking through landscape books. Tembo, who is employed as a gardener, says he is convinced he should start his own company run by people with disabilities. He says through his savings, he has put together implements that will help him launch a landscaping and horticulture company. Tembo says this idea came into his mind after realizing that many qualified people with disabilities are failing to secure formal employment.
When I requested to be employed, the managers told me that I was sick and could not be given any job. I realized that people with disabilities should not resort to begging after failing to secure employment. They had to hold their heads high and start their own enterprise.
Tembo says people with disabilities will only get respect if they are bold in showing their skills. He says people like him are called names even by those close to them. This motivated him to start composing songs with a message. On some weekends, he teams up with a local band to entertain revelers who enjoy music with a message. Tembo's wife, Ripisai, says it is important that the government gives her husband a small piece of land to start his landscaping and horticulture business, as he is determined to succeed.
I admire the way he works. He is so skillful and thorough, more than those who are able-bodied, who mock him. Our employers are truly amazed.
She says if people with disabilities start successful projects, they'll gain respect from those who look down upon them.
Friends and relatives did not like it when I got married to Shepherd. They despised the fact that he has received recognition working in Harare.
Tembo's employer, Grant Clark Withy, says people with disabilities should receive encouragement to help them achieve their goals.
What really struck me is when I came to visit my mother-in-law, Betty Guild. He works in Betty Guild's yard. When I drive in, I can see the work he's done here. What really shocked me, he can do things with the capabilities that he's got. And it really struck me down that a disability person can do that when other people could do what he could do, but he can do a lot better.
Grant says Tembo will succeed in life if he receives the necessary support from society and government.
My profession, I'm in tracking. I do vehicle satellite tracking. What he does, I cannot do. I can never do. It takes years of experience. It takes months of what he does, and I appreciate that.
Thomas Muchadenyika is a pastor with the United Pentecostal Church. Muchadenyika is disabled in both legs and walks with the aid of crutches. He says Tembo's attitude to life should inspire others with disabilities.
As a poor disabled person, learn that crying only, seated down, just crying, will not help. But you have to do some initiatives. If ever you've got a little opportunity, utilize that opportunity and do something that the world, at the end of the day, it will see that at least he's trying to do something. Let's also chip in.
Journalism student Patricia Mucha says it is important for people with disabilities to believe in themselves instead of focusing on the negative perceptions of society. She says Tembo's actions are an indication that time has come for them to empower themselves.
It means that people with disabilities can do anything in life.
In 2008, member countries of the United Nations adopted the Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. All of them, including Zimbabwe, have ratified the convention, which states that people with disabilities should have equal opportunity, right of access, and participation without discrimination. The way people with disabilities are being treated in developing countries is contrary to the convention. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I am Safari Njema.
Zimbabwe and Belarus today signed a $150 million agreement which will see the former Soviet nation supplying the country with equipment that will benefit the agriculture, mining, municipal and road and dam construction sectors. The state-owned Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation reports that Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa today met Belarus President Alexander Lukashenko, who emphasized the need for the two countries to extend their relations from political to economic and ensure Zimbabwe becomes the trade hub of Africa. However, economist Masimba Kuchera tells reporter Standigile Mhlanga, Zimbabwe needs major deals to make meaningful economic impact.
When you look at China wants guarantees that their investments will not be tampered with. But in the case of Belarus is not a country that we can possibly rely on to be able to get us out of our economic problems. They are also under European sanctions and American sanctions, and I don't think that they will be in a position financially to be able to assist in a manner that the country can benefit from, apart from maybe one or two deals. Since they are backed by Russia, but otherwise there is very little to expect from that arrangement.
Does it mean that Zimbabwe is not attracting major investors and just turning to available alternatives?
Available alternatives, I think, is the correct word. And the VP wants to be seen to be doing something. That's why he would be going to a place like Belarus. The truth of the matter is that due to bad economic policies, Zimbabwe is failing to attract the right type of investor. So we are just going to vouchers and those chances and opportunities as a way of trying to salvage some.
Can you say this is better than nothing?
I wouldn't rate it as even better. It's mostly what I don't think it will bring any economic activity to the country at all.
That was economist Masimba Kuchera on the line from Harare. Meanwhile, President Robert Mugabe, who is also chairman of the African Union and SADC, is in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, attending a two-day international conference on Africa's fight against Ebola, which commences today and ends tomorrow. The meeting is expected to craft a global policy to combat Ebola, which has killed more than 11,000 people in Liberia, Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Nigeria.
And in sports news, the Zimbabwe women's soccer team faces a ban from the global sports festival, the Olympic Games, and a future international engagement. More from our reporter, Michael Kariati.
This followed the Mighty Warriors' failure to travel to the Ivory Coast to fulfill a 2016 Olympic Games qualifier after the Zimbabwe Football Association failed to raise enough funds to enable the team to travel to that country. The team had initially been penciled to fly out on Friday evening, only for the trip to be postponed to Saturday morning, and by the time of the game, which was supposed to be played Sunday, they were still stuck in Harare. As a result, the Mighty Warriors are now out of the 2016 Olympic Games and also face a ban from taking part in the qualifiers for the 2020 Games, as well as other Confederation of African Football or CAF competitions. On top of that, the Zimbabwe Football Association also faces a heavy fine from CAF for having entered the team in the competition in the first place. ZIFA have accepted blame but are also throwing stones at the government, claiming that all efforts to get their financial support did not bring the required results. However, soccer fans, including analyst Libert Nyakudzuka, say the ZIFA authorities have failed the football family.
It's a shame, really, on us as a country. I think it just shows the kind of leadership that we have in ZIFA.
He says this has long been incoming, adding that those at ZIFA should just call it quits because of the numerous blunders they've made.
It's sad to see Kat Bedue and his acolyte, Jonathan Mashinga, just strutting their stuff today at the stadium when they couldn't actually send the girls to go and fulfill their match over then Cote d'Ivoire.
While the Mighty Warriors were at home pondering on the next move, the Young Warriors were on the field of play at Rufaro Stadium. Calisto Pasua's side were a big disappointment as they failed to beat South Africa's Amaglug Lug in a 2015 Africa Youth Championships first leg of the final qualifying round, just managing a 1-0 draw. The Young Warriors had to thank a last-gasp penalty from Walter Msona for their 1-0 draw. Football commentator Stanley Katsande believes the Young Warriors can still go to South Africa and win in 2 weeks' time.
Please remain focused and we will always support you.
There were celebrations, however, in Davis Cup tennis, cricket and in boxing. The Zimbabwe Davis Cup team whitewashed visiting Moldova 5-0 in a five-game Euro-Africa Zone Group 2 tie that ended at Harare Sports Club yesterday. At the same venue also yesterday, the Zimbabwe cricket team could afford a smile after they beat visiting India by 10 runs to equal the T20 series to 1-0. But the weekend belonged to the boxing fraternity. World Boxing Council International Welterweight title holder Charles Manucci made a successful defense of his title when he brought down Gianluca Feser of Italy in 6 rounds. The win will do well for Manucci's world ranking as he seeks to challenge for the World Boxing Council's top title held by Floyd Mayweather. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about a Supreme Court ruling allowing employers to terminate workers' contracts without terminal benefits.
Our WhatsApp number is 001-202-465-0318.
And now to recap today's stories.
The Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries and Employers Confederation of Zimbabwe have welcomed a Supreme Court's ruling that companies can terminate workers' contracts anytime without offering terminal benefits.
The family of missing activist Itai Zamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square says it welcomes the $10,000 reward offered by the police on information leading to his whereabouts, but the offer came a little bit too late.
And the United States and Cuba restored full diplomatic relations today after more than 5 decades of hostility.
That's our broadcast this evening. This is Jonga Kandemiri wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.
And my name is Chris Gandhi. Good night, Zimbabwe.